about Paul. If we went to the chapter before that, he was on a siege. He was on his way to Rome, but he gets in a big storm. And let's read from Acts 28. All right, verse 1. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was rainy and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, the goddess Justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead, but after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him, and after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. When this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. This was an island that they landed on. But who here has ever been in a shipwreck? And if you have, I want to hear it. A shipwreck can be a car accident, termination from a job, a sudden sickness, a relationship problem. A shipwreck. Has anybody here been through one of those shipwrecks? Come on, somebody. Have you ever landed in Malta? See, Malta is a place you never planned on going to. Paul had every reason to ask God, "What up?" He was a man of God. He was the super apostle. He was starting churches in Jerusalem and Galilee and all these places. And then here he is. He's preaching the gospel, ends up in jail. He was blamed for a crime he didn't commit. And he's on this ship, and a storm hits it and crashes their boat. For a little more on Paul, let's go to 2 Corinthians 11 and see what more Paul had reason to. If anyone had reason to cry about what's going on, Paul was him. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 11, 16. This is what he says. "I repeat, let no one take me for a fool, but if you do, then tolerate me just as you would a fool, so that I may do a little boasting. In this self-confident boasting, I am not talking as the Lord would, but as a fool." He's not talking as a man of God right now. He's going to boast right now about something. And he's saying, you know, because, come on, somebody, God don't like boasting. You know, that's prideful, you know. But he's saying, don't listen to me right now. Don't take me as the Lord speaking out of me right now. I'm going to talk like a fool right now, because I'm going to boast about what I've been through. "Since many are boasting in the way the world does, I too will boast. You gladly put up with fools since you are so wise. In fact, you can put up with anyone who enslaves you or exploits you or takes advantage of you or puts on airs or slaps you in the face. To my shame, I admit that we were too weak for that. Whatever anyone else dares to boast about, I am speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servant of Christ, I am out of my man to talk like, I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak, and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin, and I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. Stand there. If anybody had a reason to boast about being a Christian, it was Paul. Paul, that's a big line. My gosh. That's a long list to go through, and we want to serve the Lord. That's a big list right there. Those are big shoes to fill, somebody. The one thing about Paul through all of this is he stayed faithful. He stayed faithful. No matter how tough things get, when we must stay faithful. That means still pray. Still come to church, still come to midweek, still worship, still talk about God, still be joyful, be patient, and wait on the Lord. If the Lord is where your help comes from, be faithful to the Lord, somebody. Hard times are going to come. The Bible says it. We know we're not riding on a yellow brick road now. You know, we're in a battle, like Maria said. You know, we're in a battleground, not a playground. Choosing to follow Jesus is a whole different ballgame than just living for the world. Living for the world is easy. Living for God has its blessing. The wages of sin is death. With God, it's eternal life. So we must stay faithful, even in hard times. For many of us, we start going through a hard time and, oh, we don't see you during the week. Oh, we don't see you. Oh, come on, man. I'm a soldier of Christ. I'm going to be there. I have to be at God's house. That's my life. That's my life. And not just because I'm a pastor. When I was not a pastor, and I'm not boasting. I'm just giving you guys an example. If Christ is your life, serve Christ with all your heart. All your heart, man. You will never regret giving and serving with all your heart. Giving your time, giving your life up for Christ. Never. You'll never regret it, man. Yeah, but you know, you used to have fun and stuff. You know what? I was on my way to hell too when I was having fun. And the consequences of that fun were not fun. Come on, somebody. Am I speaking to anybody here? So the cats at work, you know, they talk to them and, you know, yeah, but I got, you know, they did some probation or whatever, whatever. That's a consequence of your own life. God didn't bring that upon you. Your own stupidity and ignorance did all that. I was stupid and ignorant. God wants to bless us. And we need to be faithful if we're going to call ourselves a Christian. Be faithful. Be faithful. We can make plans, but God determines the course. Let's go to Proverbs 16. Well, Proverbs 16. 9. I'm going to read it in the some version I had, CEV. But it says it like this. We make our own plans, but God decides where we will go. What does some of yours say? In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their step. You know, this is it. As time goes on, we find out, no, that's not it. God might direct us somewhere else. You know, in my own shipwrecks, in my work history, I remember being at Lake Piru, and it was a great job. I was like, man, this is it. You know, God bless me. I'm in Peru. I'm where I want to preach. I'm where I want my ministry. And I, here I am working at Lake Peru. I said, this is it, man. And after 5 years, that company picked up and left Arizona, and I had to find another job. And so I go to the company Benpack. I'm a maintenance guy there. I end up quitting because these two department heads were butting heads. The one who my supervisor was butting heads with, he asked for a 420 or 30 volt panel to be changed to a 120 or something like that. But he was asking me to transfer it. So I went to work, and I was being careful with somebody. You're dealing with voltage, man. You know, I was like, I'll take my time. And this fool was standing behind me. You know, how longer? Get out of here, man. No, I said, man, I ain't changing the light bulb right here. You know, leave me alone, man. You know? And at that moment, I picked up and I went and told my supervisor, you know what? I quit. And he was like, what do you mean you quit? You know, that fool's behind me, pushing me and stuff. And I said, I quit. He goes, Ruben, you didn't got a job to go to. And I said, you know what? This is unsafe, man. I'm done here, man. I'm done with this circus. Then I hooked up with Limoneta. That supervisor there, he was, you know, he was from the motherland. There was conflict between me and him, and he kept me at a low wage, and he had me work and work, and I was buzzing my butt. I was like, man, Tom, I quit. I'm going to quit. And so, no, you can't. Don't quit. And I just kept working, and I prayed, and God blessed me, and I went to work at Patagonia after that. And see, I mean, talking about shipwrecks, what I kept thinking was a good job, it kept moving me to a better job, and a better job, and except for that Limoneta, man, I was like, man, God, man, this, I don't feel, this is God, Maria, you know? And she was like, just stay, just wait, persevere. Finally, then Patagonia opened up, which is a great company. And I went to work there. That supervisor didn't like that I was a pastor and, you know, started butting heads with me and kicked me out of there. And now I'm at Magic Mountain, you know, where I've been for 5 years. I'm making good money, stable, close to home. I mean, my gosh, you know, the shipwrecks, my Malta experiences. I had to hold on, you know, sometimes we just have to hold on. I mean, shipwrecks, you got to hold on, stay faithful. You know, let's go to Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways submit to him, and he'll make your path straight. That's a promise. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own. So hard to do. Lean not on your own understanding. Our understandings get us in all kinds of mess. And in all your ways, submit to him. And he straightens out the path, man. If any of you are walking in a crooked path, submit to God and he'll straighten it out. I mean, I know this. That's a Proverbs 21. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. I mean, that, like I said, in my own experiences, my plans were, this is it, but God had a whole different purpose. And I believe God directed me to where I am so I could do his work here. I had to be stable and financially prepared to take on a ministry. God's purpose prevails. We think we should be doing this, but then you get stuck and you don't prosper, and then there's no peace. I think I should do this right now because this circumstance is going on, and then we're doing it, and you know, wait a second, I'm not really coming up or prospering in this. You know, maybe there's another plan. Maybe there's a better job. Maybe I should get into something else. Maybe I should do another line of work. If you're tuning in with God, God will give you peace where he wants you to go. The armor of God is the shoes of peace. God won't give you peace where He don't want you to go. If I got the shoes of peace on in my armor of God, if I'm not having peace somewhere, I shouldn't be there. Out in the night somewhere, you know, you see a crazy party going on. You ain't got no peace. You shouldn't even be there. So turn around, get in your car and go. There's no peace. Some shipwrecks are God-given for the glory of God. To John 11. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Some shipwrecks are God-given. So what? So God's going to get glory out of it. Somebody say, hold on. Yes. Another lesson in Malta. Sometimes you want to help, but you become a victim. Let's go to our text again. Acts 28. So verse 2. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us because it was rainy and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. See, well, think about Paul. Paul was a doer. Paul couldn't sit still. Oh, gosh. Paul had to be doing something. Humble and helpful, even though stranded. He was putting sticks in the fire, gathering wood. You know, here Paul is. He's on his way to jail in Rome. He could have been just lounging with all the other jailed people. Like, you know, you guys do all that, man. You know, but you know, Paul saw the need, man. You know, get some firewood. You know, he was a doer, man. He was still serving and still helping, man. You know, he was a man of men, man. You know, Paul was bad. And though he wants to help, he puts some food, wood on the fire, and bam! A viper comes out and bites him. Sometimes we become a victim when we want to help. That's another lesson on Malta, right? Sometimes the people who care for you will be the ones who condemn you. Ouch. Anybody went through that before? Listen up. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "That man must be a murderer. For though he escaped the sea, the goddess justice has not allowed him to live." You know, they were helping him and stuff, and now all of a sudden, you know, oh, he must be a bad guy. You know, that snake bit him. See, listen up. If you're doing something for the Lord, instead of sitting and stewing, you will stir up the devil. As long as you're just sitting at church, not doing nothing. I've said this, this is a lyric from one of the Christian rap songs. It says, "To heaven and to hell, if they don't know me, I'm not doing enough. If they don't know me, I'm not doing enough." See, if you're just sitting and not doing nothing for God, the devil ain't got to worry about you. He ain't no threat. Lala, working and doing God's work and toiling and doing it, you know, praying and this and that, this and that. You know, you're active in the ministry. You know, the devil's going to get angry and the snake's going to bite you. You stir up the devil. When believers are cold and dead, not doing anything, the devil doesn't have to worry about you. But let the child of God get busy with kingdom business, and that serpent will bite. Well, Paul was active. Paul was active, and man, that serpent said, "I got to get this guy." Paul faced a storm, a shipwreck, and now he's wounded. See, the devil will attempt to wound those who hurt him the most. Now I see why all this is going on. Yeah? Because where it says some songs,
ain't nobody mad but the
devil. Ain't nobody mad but the devil. See, when the devil gets mad, he strikes. He strikes. And how does he strike us? He wounds us by unthoughtfulness of others, ungratefulness of others, unfaithfulness of others. See, when you're slandered, stricken, or wounded, one thing Paul did, he shook it off. Shook it off. Somebody say, shake it off.
Shake it off.
Shake it off, somebody. What the enemy throws at you can paralyze you from continuing to do the work of God unless you learn to shake it off, somebody. Be careful not to nurse your wound. Why? My gosh, man. I'm down. I'm hurt. Oh, I'm not going to go to church. I'm not. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm a soldier of God, man. I mean, if I get hit, I'm praying, man. I'm praying. Yeah, pray harder. I'm a child of the Most High God. My faith is in God, not in me. That's gonna stir me up. Sometimes just show what you're made of, somebody. Tough times come to an end. Don't sit around feeling sorry for yourself. Be prayerful. Tell God you're hurt, somebody. Job didn't sit around, woe is me. He said, man, I take my case to God. And he searched for him and couldn't find him. But he was ready to take his stuff to God. You know, he wasn't going to sit around and just, man, God, how could you let this happen to me? Job 23. Yeah, here we go. Perfect. Even today, my complaint is bitter. His hand is heavy in spite of my groaning. If only I knew where to find him. If only I could go to his dwelling. I would state my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would find out what he would answer me and consider what he would say to me. Would he vigorously oppose me? No. He would not press charges against me. There are upright. There the upright can establish their innocence before him. And there I would be delivered forever from my judge. But if I go to the east, he is not there. If I go to the west, I do not find him. When he is at work in the north, I do not see him. When he turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of him, but he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. God knows. God knows you. God knows you if you know him. If you know him, whatever case or circumstance you're in, plead your case to God. Don't woe is me. Plead to God. He wants to hear from you. He's up here like this. You know, you're all woes me. And he's like, I'm right here. Don't run from God. Run to God. Be trustful. Allow God to reverse your hurts. Only God can make things work together for your good. Never give up. We know how the story ends. Jesus gets the victory. We need to hold on to our faith and continue to do good. 1 Peter 4:19. Here you go. So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Continue to do good. Don't freeze. Don't freeze because everyone's slandering you and things are going the opposite way. Sometimes what seems like God's rejection is God's direction. So that means, like, man, no, he's not hearing me. He's not hearing me. No, he's telling you to seek him. You're not seeking him. You're just feeling rejected. Woe is me. He's not hearing me. Prayer's not working. Seek me. Seek me. Direct yourself to me. Ah, Pastor, that's all hard. he wants to be sought after. He wants to be pursued, man. You know, chase me. That God wants to be chased, man. Some of you guys aren't even chasing him. You know, that's why life is like this. You know, chase him. He'll blow your mind. 2 Thessalonians 3:13. And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tired of doing what is good. Let's go to Psalm 91. A great psalm. Who here has ever read Psalm 91? Because this will give you comfort. Listen up. This is God. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone or my ankle. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show my salvation. My God. When you guys are feeling down, somebody, pray that when you're feeling down or discouraged or hurting somebody. Amen. The shipwrecks. Some of them are God-given. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. Chase God. Seek God. Direct yourself to God. Amen. You won't regret it. You won't regret it.